Well, welcome back to our study of Joshua. In our first session, I had us go and take a look at Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, and we were seeing, we were looking at the relationship between Moses and Joshua and Joshua's dedication to the Lord. And one of the things we mentioned in the 11th verse of 33 when we read that is we took a look at how the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaks unto his friend. And then if you'll remember, reading in that last chapter of Deuteronomy, if you want to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 34 and take a look at verse 10. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Well, we had a really good question at break we thought it would be excellent for us to bring up. Is the fact of, what did that really mean that Moses spoke, that God spoke to Moses face to face like a man speaks to a friend, and that the Lord knew Moses face to face? Because we also remember reading in Exodus, if you want to turn there with me, chapter 33. I just read that, Exodus 33:11. I just read that. We also know that you cannot, nobody could see the face of the Lord. Where is that? Here we go. Face to face on earth.
Verse 20.
There we go. And he said, Thou cannot, how's that? See my face, for there shall no man see me and live. So we know a man could not physically be in the presence of God and see God's face physically. But we also know God's word. God does not lie. And so how could that be? You think about if two people were talking and I were talking and, I think about when I used to play with my kids. Sometimes I put a blanket over my face and they'd still hear me talking, and we were talking face to face, and then I'd, do the peekaboo kind of thing. Well, God never did the peekaboo, but they still had the conversation face to face, like a man, a friend would have with another friend. You probably need to expound on that.
Okay. Here's the point that's being made here. Israel did not talk to God face to face. When he came down to speak, all they heard was a voice as a cloud over the mountain, and it scared them. Man had always, there had always been a mediator between God and man. When you see the prophets of the Old Testament, God would speak to them through dreams. They would have visions or dreams. Nobody has seen the face of God and live. God said you couldn't see his face and live. In other words, you have to be in a glorified body to see God, okay? But yet, what we understand from this, what God's saying, is I spoke to Moses just like a man would talk to a man. I did not go through a mediator.
That's good.
I spoke directly to him, which is a foreshadow of how God deals with us today. We do not have to go through a mediator. God, if you have the Spirit of God in your heart, God speaks directly to you. God can speak to you just as easily as he can speak to me. We do not have to go through a mediator. And so when the Lord is showing me things, he's talking to me like a man would talk to a man. You with me? No mediator.
Mm-hmm.
You and God having conversation. And that's what he's talking about with Moses, because if you remember with Moses and Aaron, God would come down in a cloud.
Mm-hmm.
When Moses would go into the tabernacle of the congregation, the cloud came down. So Moses is not seeing a visible form, but he's hearing that voice just like God standing in front of him. You follow me? And so we feel like that needs to be explained, because people can go off of the deep end and, you know, people say, well, I've seen the Lord and I saw the face of God. No, not in your natural body. You'd be consumed. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You may have a vision. When Peter, James, and John were on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus was transfigured, and they saw his garment glistening, listen to what he said to them after the fact. Don't show the vision to any man. Read it. It's in your Bible. And so what they're seeing is not natural. You follow me? It's not natural man beholding glorified God. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
And so just keep that in mind, and then here, let Scripture interpret Scripture. Scripture does not contradict itself.
Mm-hmm.
When God said, no man can see my face and live,
mm-hmm.
then that's exactly what God meant. And so when he says in the same chapter, face to face, he's not talking about physically looking. He's talking about communication. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good explanation. We had just read verse 3 of chapter 1. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said. So every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given unto you, as I have said to Moses. And so remember, this is God speaking to Joshua, saying, this territory where you tread, I'm giving you that land. And then he goes on in verse 4 and gives the parameters of this. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. So God is giving the boundaries. He's given territory. This I'm giving to you. And what I want you to see here is you remember how we talked in the first session that Joshua left nothing undone? He did everything that he was supposed to do. And how could that be? Because he had faith. He had heard from God. God speak to him. And you remember how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so with that faith, with the spoken word of God, there has to come an action. We read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, remember you had to labor to enter into the rest. Joshua and these armies, this Israeli army, they were going to have to labor to get into that promised land, weren't they? They were going to have to fight the enemy to take the territory. But once you hear God speak, Joshua had heard God speak. There's faith to move. And with faith comes a corresponding action, right? Do you remember how James said, "Without faith without works is dead"? And so even if you hear God give you an instruction, you've heard that instruction, you've heard God speak, if you don't move on it, that's dead, right? The faith dies because you're not moving. You're not acting upon the word of God. We also read in James how we're supposed to be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Joshua had to be a doer of the word of God, you understand. He had received instruction from God. He had to do it. And I think what's so interesting to me about this is that I remember a time thinking that once I gave my heart to the Lord, everything was going to be smooth sailing, thinking things were going to be easy. Stuff would just be dropped in my lap. You'd be blessed now, blessed by the Lord. And yes, that's true. I am blessed by the Lord. But there's got to be some work involved in that, too. He gives me instruction, and I got to get up and move and act on it. And you do, too, don't you? So many times we can hear from God. We can hear instruction, and we don't take heed to that. We don't move on it. Do you remember when Jesus talked about the parable of the two sons in Matthew chapter 21? You know, the father gave instruction, go work in my vineyard. The first son, he's, nah, I'm doing that. But then he's, I will not do that. Then he repented and he went out and he did the work. What the second son do? You remember? He said, yeah, I could do that work. But did he do it? The reason why I thought about that parable is we're going to find out that some of these tribes did not complete the assignment that had been given to them. They didn't do the work that they were told to do. And even if we look, I'll jump ahead in Joshua chapter 18, if y'all want to go there with me. Look at verse 3. Now, there were some tribes here where the land, seven tribes, where they hadn't received their inheritance yet. And look at verse 3. Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long do you slack to go and possess the land which the Lord your God's fathers have given you? In other words, when are you going to just get up and do it? The point I'm making here is, God had made this promise to give this land. Everywhere your foot treads, I'm giving you this land. But he had to get up and do it. And I hope this is a motivation to you, an encouragement to you. When you hear God give you instruction, you need to get up and do it. Let's not be slack in our assignments. Let's do what we're supposed to do so we don't leave anything undone. Now, you understand that this promised land was a gift. God was giving his chosen people a territory, a land, and all they had to do was take it, accept it. I was in a situation not too long ago where I, from my thinking, had this fantastic gift that I had purchased for somebody, like gone out of my way to buy this gift. And I was so excited about this gift because this person needed this gift. This gift was going to be very helpful to this individual. I mean, I even had to, I had to make arrangements for this thing because this thing was heavy. But I was so excited about it. And I thought, this person is going to just love it. How could they not love it? And you know what the individual said? It's not really what I want. Thanks, but it's not. I don't want that. I was crushed. Oh! I was so, you know, when you give somebody a gift, how excited you get about giving the gift. I was crushed. Now, I want you to think about that experience. I've been flipping it, thinking about how many gifts has Father God extended to me? And I have not chosen to take that gift. You know, he's extended the gift of healing. By his stripes I have been made well. But I can tell you right now, standing up here, there have been times where I have not accepted that gift. Haven't had the faith. So, I read about this promised land and think about the promised land that I have entered into and you have entered into. And with that promised land, there's just gifts all around. I'll never forget one evening, and then I'll stop talking. Some of you may have been in the room. The Lord showed me, I had just as clear as I can see you, I saw gifts all around this room, wrapped up in beautiful packages with students' names on them. Our names written on these gifts from the Lord. And all we had to do was just go take the gift and claim it as ours. Some gifts were claimed that evening, but many were left against the wall, not even opened. Kind of like that gift I just told you about that I was so excited about. Let's take our gifts, right? Amen.
And salvation is a gift. But how many people reject salvation? The Holy Spirit's a gift, but how many people reject the Holy Spirit? You know, there's so much that could be said to this. What if Abraham had not walked the land? He had to put an action to the land. For his descendants to receive that, he had to do something. When you don't act on the Word of God, it's depriving someone else as well. It's not just you. It has ripple effect. And the gift that God gives us, He blesses us to be a blessing. And so if you don't receive, how are you going to give out? You understand? Freely you receive. Freely give. Don't charge people for what God gave you. You follow me? But I can give lip service, or I can be about my Father's business. You understand? Jesus confronted the religious people over that. You know. Oh, with your lips, you can praise God and worship God with your lips, but He said your heart is far from me. It's not what you say, it's what you do. You understand? Joshua was a doer. And so let's look at this example and follow this example closely. Hear, obey. That's what success is. Obeying what you hear God say. It's not how big's the crowd, how much money. It has absolutely nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with obedience. Obedience. Now we'll find as we go along that Israel didn't do what God told him. Mm-hmm. Joshua fully obeyed God. But the Israelites didn't. God said, drive those seven nations out. Utterly destroy them. He said, if you don't, Moses warned them. It's God speaking, you understand, through Moses. They're going to be thorns in your side and thorns in your eyes. But they didn't drive them out. They had an excuse. You know what their excuse was? They're stronger than we are. You know that's what the excuse of people today is. If you look at situations like you're the grasshopper, as they said in the spies, we were grasshoppers in their sight. If you have that grasshopper mentality, you'll walk in defeat. But when you realize it's not how big they are, it's how big God is. And there's no one bigger or more powerful than God. And if God is for me, who can be against me? Who's going to win? And you've got to get that established on the inside of you in order to be fully obedient to God. And I believe Joshua and Caleb had this thing established on the inside of them. This is not natural might. This is supernatural God working with this army. You'll find as we get in here in some of their battles, you know, that you have your soldiers fighting, and then God just starts throwing hailstones out of heaven and kills more of the enemy with the hailstones than they're killing with the sword. So they weren't out there hung out to dry on their own. And the Spirit of God in us comes alongside us to help us not to do the job for us. And a lot of people are just looking, God, you do it, God, you do it, God, you do it. Or some over here, I don't need God, I'm going to do it. No, we need to have a cooperative fellowship with God to where we're doing our part and allowing Him to do His part. That's when we're successful. And that was the key to Joshua's success.
Verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee.
Now that should be a comforting word. Yeah. God is encouraging Joshua as he's going into this new venture of leading this nation in the enemy territory, okay? God says that no enemy will be able to stand against you. You go ahead and get that established on the inside of you. Do not have a defeatist mentality. You know, we've been in some situations, and actually the Lord dealt with me about a person back some time ago that to tell that person who've always viewed themselves as I'm trying to be general in this, okay, as a victim. This was many months ago, maybe a year or so ago. And to tell that person, as long as you see yourself as a victim, you'll always be victimized. But when you see yourself as an overcomer, then you'll stop succumbing to the enemy. You understand? It's a bully mentality. You can let the bully you and walk on you and get your lunch money and all that kind of stuff, or you can stand up to the bully and say, that's not going to happen. And you better pack your lunch. You're going to have an all-day fight. You understand? You have to have that kind of mentality and tenacity to get through this life, to go through the world to where you're hanging on to the Word of God. No, you're not stealing the Word of God from me. God said this, it's mine, and I'm going to possess what God says mine, and don't try to talk me out of it. You with me? You understand where I'm coming from? The devil, actually your friends will try to talk you out of things that God wants to do. People have been talked out of their healing. God healed them. And somebody else says, you're crazy if you go on like this and you don't do this, you know. I'm thinking about an instance with a person. God healed them and they came out of a wheelchair. I mean, walking. And the family said, you better get back in that wheelchair. You know what the doctor said. And you're going to hurt yourself and all this. You know what happened? The person got back in the wheelchair. Now, you have to fight against that stuff. And it's a fight of faith, not a physical fight. And that fight is taking place between your ears.
Yeah.
You understand? You've got to get control of your thought life. You follow me? You're going to win it in here before you win it out here. You don't go into battle thinking you're going to get beat. You're going to win thinking they're going to be whipped. You better be thinking that way. You understand? And look at David. The whole army of Israel is hiding from Goliath. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine defying the armies of God? I'll go up against him with a sling and a rock. You understand? Not self-confident. Confident in the Lord. I proved this thing. I know my God. I've killed the lion and the bear with my bare hands. And this uncircumcised Philistine, out of covenant Philistine, will be just like them. You understand? God fights my battles. I just let him use me. You see that? Well, that's the way Joshua's looking at this. God's fighting the battle, but he's using their army to do it. You got to see that. I'd like to get that conveyed to you the way I see that.
There's a promise in here, and a lot of times people will quote it. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. That promise can be for us too, if we'll receive it. God is no respecter of persons. I know he's talking to Joshua here, but if we allow this word, if we meditate on this word, he can speak this word to our heart too.
Well, Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
That's true.
He in you? You think he's going to leave? You know, I was listening to a song, and I said something to Heather about it. Why is it all these Christian songs always talking about the miseries? Mm-hmm. And then God's going to get me out of this. Why are you dwelling on this on this negative stuff?
Right.
You have to be convinced on the inside of you. I have never, nor will I ever, go through anything that the Lord's not there. He's with me. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. I've actually said to the Lord out loud, I said, you know, I feel like, about like Elijah, that I'm alone. But I know I'm not. You got to get that in there. I know I'm not. I just need the wisdom and the understanding to know what my role is to get through this. What do I do? And sometimes when you've done all you do, you stand fully armed with the Word of God. The enemy trying to intimidate you. No, you don't weaken. You don't weaken. You want the victory, you have to persevere. You understand? You don't win wars running backwards. Actually, that's the only, when you take on the whole armor of God, I don't see anything there protecting your backside. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
The breastplate of righteousness, your loins girded about with truth, the helmet of salvation. What happens if you turn around and run? Now, you can be a sitting duck then. You got a big target on your back. No. You face the enemy, you don't run from the enemy. And you can't have a victory without a battle.
Right.
I mean, if you just think about it, it's common sense. The people want the victories and brag about what God's done and all this. Boy, listen to what God did to this person. Look how God done that. You don't know what that person went through to get that victory. Mm-hmm. You understand? There again, here, obey. It's not smooth sailing. Anybody tells you the Christian walk smooth sailing is lying through their teeth. There's opposition. But Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. Be happy. That's what being a good cheer is. I've overcome. You don't have a thing to worry about. Trust you.
I was thinking about a person that I thought, nothing ever goes wrong for this person. Just smooth sailing. What I found out, I was very wrong about that. But the battles that this person faced, this person did so with such just a constant faith and holding on to the Word of God. There wasn't an up and down like a roller coaster. Just held on to the Word of God and kept going no matter the circumstances. And you know, Joshua had to do that too. Held on to the Word of God. I'm with you. I've given you this territory. Regardless of the circumstances, the enemies that you may face, he had to be that way to accomplish the task. We can be that way too if we keep the Word of God in our heart and we keep our mind fixed on the Lord. He'll keep us in perfect peace. Got to keep our thinking fixed on him. Got to keep the Word just in our hearts. Now, verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them.
Now, God's just encouraging Joshua with a word. Mm-hmm. You be strong. You be a good courage. Don't you get discouraged. You're going to divide this land among the people. Come on, divide this land among the people. You got to have that mentality, mm-hmm. You understand? I will divide this land among the people. So I'm not going to get my eyes on this group, this group, this group. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on the Lord, and he's going to show me how to do all this. You have to follow him.
You have to follow him. And Joshua couldn't think to himself, well, there's probably somebody a little more qualified than me that could handle this. You understand? He had to stay fixed on what the Lord had told him to fulfill his purpose. Right there's his purpose, Joshua's purpose.
And in light of that, of the statement she made, somebody more qualified, see, that was Moses' thing when mm-hmm. God appeared to him at the bush. I'm not a man of eloquent speech. Now, people take and run with that, but they don't read the rest of the Bible. It says he was learned mm-hmm. wisdom. I mean, Moses was an educated man. And what he was saying is, if I understand it right, I'm not as quick on my feet in the greatest orator like some people, and yet people have taken that and said he stuttered. But the Bible doesn't say anything like that. So Moses is saying, get somebody else. How many times have people said, well, somebody else is more qualified? I've said it myself, I don't know how. That's not what God asked me. He didn't ask me if I knew how. He told me what to do. Now, would he tell me to do something I can't do? And you've got to get that settled in you. God's not stupid. He's not going to ask you to do something that you can't do. But he wants you to know that you need his strength to do it. Okay? Where, again, this is a cooperative effort where you're working together with the Lord. So God is not going to put something on your heart that you can't do. You do it. I've had people to call me and say, I've you know, this person has really been on my heart, and they need prayer. And I'd like for you to pray. I said, well, if God put them on your heart, why aren't you praying for them? You with me?
Mm-hmm.
So if God puts on your heart, I think I should do this. So I'm going to call somebody else and tell them to do it. This needs to be done. Do it yourself. You get it from God, then you go with it from God. God's not putting that there in you. God doesn't just speak idle words, you understand? And God doesn't go through mediators. He'll speak directly to your heart. You know, I've had people to ask me, or actually not ask me, just tell me, I feel like the Lord wants you to do this and this. And I say, well, he hadn't said anything to me. And until he says something to me, I'm not going to try to fulfill your dream. You with me? No, you go with what God is giving you, whether it looks possible or not. Just remember that he does the impossible. Now, when you realize you can't, you're in a real good position for God to do something through you. Amen. And then you have to give the glory to God. Right? All right, time's up. I'll stop here, okay? Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, gentle Lord, your territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have a great weekend.